a 2019 copy of the Book of Common Prayer, or you can find it online, you will find a section in there called Foundational Documents. And within that, the foundational documents, you're going to find something called the 39 Articles of Religion that were set in 1571. There's an interesting history around it, but at its very least, you can say it's a doctrinal statement of faith that came forth in the context of some really interesting history. There was some real religious and politicals back and forth, and they were making some statements. But we'll just leave it there. It's a doctrinal statement of faith. And the very first one says, of faith in the Holy Trinity. And that's what we'll read right now. And it goes like this. There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker, the preserver of all things, both visible and invisible, and in unity of this Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You're going to need to go home and sit with this. There's a lot there. But let's say a few things. It'll only be a few minutes, and then we'll get on to sermon. But it says, one living and true God. One God, living God, true God. One God. Well, we know is in Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Oftentimes, when you think about the Trinity, you can make seven statements. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. We're up to six statements now. And then the seventh is, there is one God. And that's what brings it to mystery. Three persons, yet one essence or substance. So one God. He's the living God, active and engaged in the world today. He's the true God, distinct and superior from all who claim to be God. Then it goes on and says, everlasting, without beginning and without end, without body. He is spirit. You know, if you think about it, we are created in the image of God, but we're limited. Our bodies limit us. Other things limit us. But he is not... He is not limited. He is not contained. You think about it in our culture today, why is there so much desecration of the body today? Because somehow we think that if we can transcend the limits of the body, we can be as God. God is without body. He is spirit. Couple more. Without parts. Without parts. What does that mean? Okay. We are a people and we have attributes. Now, maybe I'm a kind person, or you say, well, at least he's working on it. So maybe there's still hope. Maybe I'm a kind person, but that doesn't mean I can't change and become a bitter old man. Or maybe I started as a very narcissistic youth. And maybe I grew up to be loving and kind. You know, like I said, there's still hope. Who we are and what we are two different things. Our attributes are like parts, are not us. They can be swapped out. They can be changed. But God is not made of parts or attributes. God is righteous. God is righteousness, the very essence of what is right. We can't swap out his mercy and justice and put in inclusion. God will not one day reconfigure and decide to be cruel, because who God is and what he is like is the same thing. God is righteous. God is love. Then it goes on to say, without passions. What do you mean without passions? We're not saying, I have a passionate desire for pickleball. You know, that's not the way they're using it. Passions means susceptible to outside forces or influence. If I were to come to a meeting and I would say, I was up all night last night. I had this brilliant idea. And I was thinking about it all night, and I go to this meeting and I present my idea, and everyone says, "Oh, no, Dave, that's silly. We're not going to do that. Let's go talk about something else. I'm going to be hurt because they didn't like my idea." But if I go to that same meeting with that same idea and they say, "Oh man, that is so spot on, Dave. I can't believe you came up with it. That is exactly what we need to do." I'm going to, yeah. God is not susceptible to outside forces or influence. He doesn't get his feelings hurt or get pumped up with what we think of him. One last, then we'll get to the sermon. Infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. We need to sit with that. Infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. We need to sit with that as we go into an election season. And if anyone can tell me how I can keep my mailbox from being filled up with half political advertisements and half advertisement for Medicaid, you know, if you could just give me some insight on how to stop that, I would appreciate it. But as we go into, you know, Ross Douthat in his book, Bad Religion, How We Became a Nation of Heretics, points out that on both sides of the political divide, when their candidate is in office, they become very messianic. Oh, we're going to save the world. We're going to save America. We're going to save the planet. But when then the other side is in power, they become very apocalyptic. You know, one side reads Michael O'Brien, the other side reads Margaret Atwood. But both sides have an apocalyptic vision that if I don't win, the world is heading towards a dystopian future. Now, I don't make light of this, and I don't trivialize the concerns. There are some very serious issues in our culture that grieve us deeply. But wherever one lands politically, the difference between the believing Christian and the secularist or the apostate is that for the unbeliever and the apostate, politics is all they have. Rage and rebellion is all they have. Protest is all they have. Doing whatever they can by whatever means to get their goals and agenda to save the world is all they have. But the believing Christian, whatever your politics, we can be more reasoned, more rational, more relational, more local, more accepting of unjust laws because we ultimately trust in a God of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. Then the last few things, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible, in the scripture, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all are attributed with creation and holding all things together. And then the last thing it says, and in unity of this Godhead, there be three persons, one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So look it up. Borrow from that Book of Common Prayer, 39 articles. Look it up online. Very interesting stuff, cool stuff in there. And if you want to, you know, questions about it, talk to Matt, talk to Chris, talk, you know, I'd love to talk about it. Really cool stuff. Now, the sermon.